36, mana 87, stamina 3513 of 4180, strength 65, agility 88, dexterity 79, constitution 210, endurance 418, intelligence 8, wisdom 5. The other four had roughly the same stats, give or take a level. The insane amount of health these things possessed was mind-boggling. It wasn't only their health and stamina that made them dangerous. The high agility and dexterity they each had explained why they were able to dart around so quickly. More than one Genet Prowler bit only air while attacking. The Chupacabra's counterattacks never failed to rend flesh. Richter's jaw firmed. He'd heard of Chupacabras in stories from time to time back on Earth, but all he remembered was that their name was supposed to mean goat liquor or something like that. The fangs on these things were terrifying, though, so he was pretty sure he'd gotten something wrong in translation. As unhappy as he was with the stats of the smaller monsters, his heart dropped when he examined the larger one. Name, Tovut Mahler. Disposition, hatred. Description, unknown. Level, unknown. Health, 5,772. Mana, 15. Stamina, 3,554 of 3,608. Strength, unknown. Agility, unknown. Dexterity, unknown. Constitution, unknown. Endurance, unknown. Intelligence, unknown. Wisdom, unknown. Charisma, unknown. Luck, unknown. The thing had such a high level that his analyze skill only let him see its name, disposition, and the insane amount of health and stamina it had. This was the kind of creature that would have been a raid boss when he'd thought the land was just a game. Entire guilds, hundreds of high-level players, would have burned through millions of gold crowns worth of potions, spell scrolls, and equipment to take something like this down. This wasn't a game, though. And if any of his comrades died, the Life Masters might not be able to bring them back. If Sumiko and Hisako died, the consequences of that could mean the death of everyone in his village. Sweating a bit, Richter shared the info he'd been able to glean. Everyone's faces grew grim at hearing how strong the monsters were, but they all just held their weapons tighter. Seeing their courage made it easier for Richter to deal with his own fears. He focused on the matter at hand and told his best friend to target the closest Chupacabra. It was the one that had been buried in the dog pile and had the lowest health. It had already killed half of the prowlers that were attacking it, but for now, it was still occupied and distracted. Sion nodded back, and Yulindis said he would do what he could. The two companions both downed a mana potion and began to imbue. A golden light surrounded Richter's arrow. Sion waited a three count before doing the same. The sprite's superior skill in imbue arrow let him invest mana faster than his friend. Because of that, they had practiced their attacks and found that a three-second delay in Sion's imbuement would let them finish draining both of their mana pools at the same time so they could fire simultaneously. Black flashes appeared around the Chaos Seed's arrow while a blue aura surrounded Sion's. They poured more mana into their shots, ignoring the pain that came from being swiftly drained of magic. Yellow lightning began to crackle around Richter's arrow, and blue-white lightning danced across the sprites. 100, 200, 300, Richter counted silently as he prepared his attack. It wasn't just a mantra. It was a communication with Alma that let her know how much mana he had invested in his attack. When he reached 500, she silently launched herself towards a second Chupacabra. Her body glowed yellow a moment before a bolt of lightning shot from her snout directly into the eyes of her foe. It did not cause much damage, but it did elicit a howl of anger and pain. The monster immediately dashed towards the direction of the attack, bringing it next to Richter's target, bringing it within the AoE of his imbued attack. Flawless, he thought as he released his shot. A black and gold torpedo swam through the air with a brilliant blue brother beside it. Yulindi's own arrow flew through the air as well, invested with his drill shot subskill. After crossing half the distance, all three arrows were copied into three more versions of themselves. The overlapping imbued lights were almost beautiful for the split second they lasted before contact and detonation. The boom drowned out even the roar of the Tovut Mauler. Richter let the combat information wash over him. Begin combat log. Chupacabra suffers from mind fog. Chupacabra resists stun. Chupacabra suffers from psi crystallization. Richter strikes Chupacabra with enhanced imbue arrow for 396 points of varied damage with primary arrow. 6-foot radius AoE damage, not including modifiers, 68. Richter strikes Chupacabra with enhanced imbue arrow for 204 points of varied damage with copied arrows. Total damage, 600. End combat log. One of the copies of Richter's arrow had struck a pillar, exploding harmlessly. Despite that loss, the damage of his opening attack was massive. Using imbue arrow with a multi-shot enchantment decreased the individual magic force damage of each hit, but the cumulative effect of overlapping fields of force more than made up the difference. Ragged and bloody wounds appeared in the Chupacabra's body, its blood feeding the dungeon once more. The area of effect from the shot spilled over onto the other monster and the three beasts that had still been attacking Richter's target. Less than a split second later, all five of Sion's multi-shot arrows struck at the same time as Yulindi's. Two more deadly salvos comprised of 10 more arrows wreaked havoc on the Chupacabra's body. The attack had emptied the mana pools of both companions, but it was worth it. Coupled with Yulindi's drill shot, nothing could survive that attack. Except the monster did. One of its legs was mangled and great bleeding rents pockmarked its body, but the damn thing was still alive. It screamed in pain even as the quills on its back began to quiver. "Cover!" Richter shouted, ducking behind a red stone pillar. 20 spikes flew through the air like spears shot from the backs of the two Chupacabras. The pillar Richter was hiding behind shuddered when several quills hammered the other side. The party couldn't see it, but two of the projectiles had sunk deep into the stone column. A horrible howling echoed through the cavern, a call to battle and a promise of retribution from all six of the quilled monsters. The Mauler roared as well, stuffing more beasts into its ever-hungry mouth.
"The beast is mine! You killed the dogs!" Hisako called out with gleeful savagery.
The Hearth Mother was not daunted in the slightest by the fact that the opening attack hadn't claimed a life. Instead, she was flush with the thrill of battle. Even though Richter had seen the sprite in battle several times, it still took him aback when he saw the other side of his ally's nature come out. Sprites might delight in the tranquility of nature, but they happily embraced the violent and merciless side of it as well. As Hisako began to cast, Richter risked another glance around the corner. To his delight, the second monster that had been in his AoE had been afflicted with mind fog, a secondary effect of his imbued arrow attack. It served the same role as confusion, leading the creature to act in unpredictable ways. After it had fired its quills at him, it had fired a second volley at the Mauler. The giant monster had suffered damage for the first time, which was a relief to the Chaos Seed. For all he knew, it could have been invulnerable. The injured Chupacabra was being targeted by another wave of dungeon beasts now. With the Mauler distracted by its dog's treachery, the animal defenders were able to focus on the smaller labyrinth creatures. That still left three rather large problems, however, namely the other Chupacabras that were speeding towards Richter's party. The Chaos Seed dropped his bow. Reaching back, he drew his Elementum short sword and named weapons simultaneously. The lights dimmed momentarily and the air cooled as black ice was released. Named or not, he wasn't sure what even his newly enchanted blade could do against the monster that was only seconds away from attacking him. Thankfully, he wasn't alone. While the three archers had fired their volley, Quasia had been chanting a long spell. The voluptuous gnome finished the incantation. A pool of inky blackness flowed from her hands and into the path of one Chupacabra. It tried to jump over it, but the darkness just moved to where it would land. When it did, the creature partially sank into the dark magic. The gnome Noctomancer had cast Sucking Tar. The enhanced rank spell was one of the strongest that she knew and had cost 528 MPs. Even though the cost was steep, both in mana and a headache she was now having to endure, the fourth tier spell was powerful. It would consume any creature that was caught in its clutches, slowly swallowing them in a black morass from which they'd never escape. It should have removed one of the party's enemies from the board. The only problem with Quasia's plan was that she had never fought a labyrinthine monster before. The chupacabra's feet were sucked down until its knees were covered in the black magic, but it didn't keep sinking. With massive strength and pure malevolence, it fought against the spell. Its muscles were not the only thing that protected it. Nothing survived long in the labyrinth without developing resistances. As strong as Quasia's spell was, it was still powered by a basic element, one of the most common magics in the land. With a 43% resistance to dark magic, the Noctomancer could not hope to overcome such a fiend. Even as it fought to get free, it stared death at the gnome and fired five quills at her, each moving at the speed of an arrow. Death raced towards her, and her eyes widened in fear. Thankfully, she wasn't alone. Calder was always free with a laugh, but in battle, he was all business. He was the type of man you could rely upon. When Richter had charged him with defending the party's casters, he had decided that all the party's mages would live through the battle or he would die trying to make it happen. While Quasia cast her spell, the sergeant had stood ready with his massive Wardour shield. The heavy slab of metal was more bank vault than shield, which was probably the only reason it held. Before the quills even left the monster's back, Calder had braced himself in front of the gnome mage to take the five blows. They hit with the force of a heavy crossbow bolt fired from point-blank range. A great gonging reverberated through the chamber and massive dents appeared in the Wardour. The sergeant couldn't keep a wail of pain from escaping as his arm broke in two places. He still stood, though, ready to accept the charge of a monster that was more than twice his own level. Calder knew he couldn't defeat it or even defend himself from its attacks for long, but by the banished gods he would stand. Thankfully, he wasn't alone. Sumiko began casting healing magic on Calder as soon as he cried out, and then it was Zar's turn to make his presence known. The caster finished a spell, his voice sounding like rocks grinding together. Green light flared on both of his hands before winking out. A moment later, the ground behind the ensnared chupacabra broke apart and a granite golem began to pull itself out of the ground. The geomancer hadn't held back either. He'd cast the only potent level spell that he knew. Sweat had beaded on the caster's brow, and the words of power had felt like sand and honey in his mouth as he had performed the fifth tier magic. But he was not about to be outdone by a gnome, no matter how good her tits looked in a black robe. The level 33 summoned creature had a much lower level than the chupacabra, but it made up for that in size, strength, and weight. Standing 11 feet tall, it weighed more than 4 tons, and its hands could crush stone. Zar called out a hoarse command, "Biryat!" before he collapsed to one knee from the strain of such a powerful casting. The golem took one step forward, moving fluidly despite its mineral-heavy body. Then it as much fell on as attacked the chupacabra struggling to escape Quasia's spell. The gnome was pouring more mana into the active spell, trying to keep the monster ensnared, but it was still almost free. One foot was already clear of the tar-like spell substance when the golem attacked. The labyrinth monster screamed in anger that soon turned to panic. It had great strength and a high resistance to magic, but physics was always a bitch. Thousands of pounds of semi-sentient rock pushed down from above while Quasia's spell pulled from below. The chupacabra yowled, spit, and tried to fire the quills from its back, but with the golem hugging it close, the special attack didn't have the room to manifest. The gnome mage grew lightheaded as her mana started to bottom out. As her vision clouded, Zar called out, "Just hold on, Quaz!" The gnome nodded to her geomancer friend and reasserted her will. A few seconds later, the screaming monster disappeared completely into the black morass of dark magic. The golem was still bear-hugging it and sank through the miasma as well.
No!
Zar shouted. Quasia let go of the spell, and the blackness disappeared. All that was left behind was churned earth. Both monster and summoned creature were gone forever. Struggling to stay conscious, the gnome downed a mana potion while she edged away from the battle. The strain of maintaining such powerful magic against a high-level monster, no less, had taken a toll. It was the mental equivalent of pulling a door closed while someone pulled on the other side for several minutes in a row. Instead of burning arms, though, her mind and aura were exhausted. The migraine she was suffering meant she needed at least 30 seconds before she could cast again. If the chupacabras reached her, she would die horribly, just another once-powerful mage turned helpless without mana. Thankfully, she wasn't alone. While all of this was happening, the warriors of the Mist Village showed off their new powers. The three melee fighters intercepted a chupacabra. Two held swords and shields, while the third carried a heavy spear. Working together, they were able to hold the monster at bay and began trading blows with it. The creature was much stronger than any of them individually, but their enchanted weapons and armor went a long way to even the odds. The chupacabra attacking the mauler had been thrown across the cavern. Getting physical distance between itself and the larger monster, its mind fog debuff no longer drove it to attack its ally. It just bit and clawed whatever was closest. That happened to be some of the few remaining dungeon beasts. While those creatures futilely defended themselves and died, Yoshi stayed in front of the Hearthmother, both ice rapiers at the ready. During the whole battle, she had been casting a long and powerful spell. The light radiating off her grew in brilliance, drawing the attention of the labyrinth boss. It roared in defiance and began rushing towards her. The mauler was too late. With a final shouted word of power, her spell was completed. White light shot from her hands and turned into ribbons of force. These large streaks wrapped around the monster in an attempt to mummify it. Not only was the creature restrained, but the magic bandages burned its skin. It screamed in anger while it fought against the Hearthmother's attack. The air thrummed with the residual energy released by her spell. Sadly, it was not enough. The mauler's high resistance was coupled with an ability that Richter had not been able to see when he analyzed it. The labyrinth boss possessed physical regenerative properties. Even as its skin burned, it repaired itself. Hisako's spell could have bound a mountain troll and killed it given time, but the mauler was a horror of the labyrinth. With a massive pull of its arm, one of the ribbons of white light snapped. Hisako grunted in pain. It was only thanks to her disciplined mind that she did not lose consciousness in response to the spell feedback. She'd been confident that the superior, sixth-tier spell would be enough to contain the mauler, but she had underestimated it. Just like the chupacabras, the creature had broad magic resistances. It was more susceptible to light magic than any other basic element, but it was still able to ignore 38% of the spell's strength. If she'd known how truly powerful the mauler was, she wouldn't have used an active spell that was still connected to her. Hisako was still not intimidated by the towering monster. The Hearthmother was the master of three magics. Using the hidden apprentice rank bonus of earth magic, she switched the spell from active to static. Before she did, she poured 500 more mana points into the spell, strengthening it before tying it off. The bands of white light grew thicker and brighter, and the labyrinth monster bellowed anew as it was bound tightly again. A trickle of blood ran from Hisako's nose, but she paid it no heed. Instead, she remained focused on the battle.
Yoshi, bring it down!
The sword adept didn't hesitate. His loyalty and trust in Hisako was absolute. He rushed forward with talent-enhanced speed and both blades held at the ready. He showed no fear as he attacked a creature that was 10 times his height. Just before he entered striking distance, Hisako cast another spell of light. She had already used nearly 1,000 MPs, but the mana she could call upon was better described as a sea than a pool. This time, her target wasn't the mauler. It was her blade adept. Copies of Yoshi appeared in the cavern, first 5, then 25, then 50. The magic she performed, reflected essence, was not just a stronger version of Richter's mirror image spell. Each copy of Yoshi had 0 defense and only 1 health, but could cause damage that was 1/10 of the max damage the adept himself could inflict. They each moved independently and began attacking the mauler, literally whittling away its health while it hurled itself against the cage of Hisako's spell. The battle raged on. Tirad stood shoulder to shoulder with his liege, facing a chupacabra. The captain held a moonstone mace, and Richter held his 2 blades of black and green. The monster snapped and gnashed at both of them, but even it could not ignore the strength of their enchanted weapons. Richter scored a blow on its side, and the shatter enchantment triggered. The chupacabra's thick hide collapsed inward, revealing the tender meat beneath. Even as the monster howled, Richter followed up with a thrust attack of his elementum shortsword. A quick twist worsened the wound, and he jumped back, narrowly avoiding the monster's counterattack. Tirad capitalized on its distraction to bring his mace down on its front leg with a crushing force. The battle raged on. Sion continued to fire arrows at the chupacabras. He had originally targeted the mauler, but he might as well have been blowing it kisses for all the damage he'd caused. The Maidon sprite had downed another mana potion and was imbuing another arrow to the max. Yulindi stood next to him firing drill shot arrows as quickly as he could, each spinning arrow bypassing some of the monster's defenses. Randolphus had phased into stealth as soon as the battle began, but flashes of his enchanted knives could be seen from time to time. He would appear as he threw his magic weapons, and as soon as they left his hand, he would disappear again. Zar and Quasia had both downed mana potions and were waiting for their pools to refill. Sumiko had turned her attention to the village warriors, healing as needed. She cast an AoE buff, sending a golden light into the air. Every party member touched by the rays of the spell had their dodge increased by +18%. The sergeant stood between the monsters and the mages, ready to lay down his life if needed. Alma had fired a lightning bolt at one of the chupacabras, but its air resistance had negated the stun effect and reduced the damage to almost nothing. After that, she focused on playing support for her master's party and the dungeon beasts. Her summoned Life Fox was already shooting beams of healing energy at a Koran Tusker. Sion's imbuement maxed out as his mana pool depleted. A second before he fired, the mauler raked its giant claws against the ribbons of light that held it in place. 3 of the magical bonds snapped in 2. 1 arm was now completely free, which let it counterattack against Yoshi and his copies. In 1 sweep of its giant arm, it destroyed 12 of the false images at once. Hisako's heart paused until she saw the others still moving, which meant the real Yoshi was still alive. Against the mauler's attack, even the Sword Adept's armor and skills might not save him from sudden death.
"Yoshi, move!" Sion shouted.
The half-sprite and his clones jumped away from the mauler, and Richter's companion unleashed hell. Prior to the battle, the Chaos Seed had handed this arrow to Sion, affectionately dubbing it the Showstopper. An arrow tipped with a cobalt head shot through the air. Its exquisite quality, coupled with Krom's new talent, Enchanted Smithing, had given Richter 59 enchantment slots to play with, and oh, how he'd played! The missile was enchanted with level 2, rank 5 sonic damage, and level 1, rank 3 dark attack. That meant Sion had just fired +22 points of enchanted damage, +12 points of arrow damage, +19 points of bow damage, and an insane +213 points of imbued force damage. Richter had told him that when you just absolutely positively had to kill the biggest motherfucker in the room, you should accept no substitutes. The arrow split the air and homed in on the mauler's face. It struck with a resounding boom that set every living creature's ears ringing. The mauler screamed in pain for the first time. Richter's entire party held their breath, praying that the monster would fall or had at least been critted. Instead, the mauler activated a second hidden ability, Even as the massive crater in its face rained down blood and gore, a red aura surrounded the creature as it triggered rage. The hearts of every one of the dungeon's defenders dropped as the creature tore through the last of its magical bonds. It would be free in seconds.
"This enemy may be beyond us, Lord Richter," Hisako called. "I suggest we withdraw."
She cast another spell, piercing a limping chupacabra with a beam of light that cut straight through the monster. It hacked up blood and howled, but it still refused to fall. The mauler didn't even notice the attack on its dog as it shredded more of its bonds. One of the chupacabras was near death, but it had slain all of the dungeon beasts attacking it and was starting to crawl on two legs towards the party. The quills on its back were still capable of claiming all of their lives. The one facing off against the village warriors had been destroyed when the freeze enchantment on their heavy spear had triggered. The monster's front paw had frozen solid, and another warrior had used power strike. The blow had shattered the limb, dropping its health precipitously and causing a serious drop in its mobility. The warriors had been able to kill it after that, but not without casualties. Wisteria had been punctured through the thigh with a 4-foot quill, and Calf had been knocked unconscious. Blood flowed freely from a head wound that showed his skull underneath. Both had been dragged to safety by Ygritte and had been healed by Sumiko, but not completely. Wisteria's femur had been shattered and would require several rounds of healing to fully repair, and even life magic could not completely heal all head wounds immediately. Both injured warriors were out of commission. Richter and Tarad had managed to stab their enemy in the throat, but not before it had sunk its teeth deep into the captain's shoulder. It had flung its head back and forth, shaking the man like a rag doll before throwing him against a shattered pillar. The monster had collapsed after that, Richter's elementum short sword buried in its throat while it gurgled its last. Sumiko had been able to stanch Tarad's bleeding, although his face was now dangerously pale from blood loss. But she could not repair the nerve or bone damage in a combat setting without a massive expenditure of mana, and when her magic might save the life of another fighter at any moment, she couldn't risk her MPs dropping too low. As a result, Tarad's savaged arm hung lame and limp. Richter looked around, his heart beating wildly. There were no more beasts to help them. Three of the chupacabras had been killed, one by Quasia's magic, a second by the warriors, and the third by his own hand, but it still left three of the creatures stalking them. The only reason they hadn't used their ranged attack was that every member of the party was huddled behind a broken pillar. If they remained spread out like that, though, they would become easy pickings for the high-level monsters. If they grouped together to fight, one chupacabra could pick them off with its deadly quills, while the other two rent them with sharp fangs and eviscerating claws. The three snarling creatures were also the lesser threat by far. The damage Sion had wreaked upon the mauler had been severe, but it was already healing and had thousands of health left besides. Sion stood with another arrow knocked, ready to attack if his friend ordered it. The rest of the party looked to him as well, willing to follow his orders, even unto death. All except for Yoshi, who was definitely looking at him like he was a stupid gyoti who was completely to blame for everything that was happening. Richter gritted his teeth, both in irritation and frustration. Hisako was right. He couldn't just sacrifice these people, even if it meant losing his dungeon. If the chupacabras had all been killed, then maybe they could chip away at the mauler's health. But there was no way his party could oppose them all. So far, they had only managed to kill two monsters, and it had cost them every single dungeon beast. A third of his party's fighters were out of commission. Tasting ashes in his mouth, he prepared to order the retreat. Then, out of nowhere, Randolphus appeared. His whip flew out and encircled the body of one of the wounded chupacabras. Putting the weight-decreasing properties of the whip to deadly use, the spy pulled back hard and spun. The monster's body flew through the air with an indignant squawk. As the spy spun, the centrifugal force increased until the chupacabra's protests ended in a crunch as it was slammed face first into a column. Yoshi and the few remaining clones rushed forward to stab it over and over, taking away the last points of its life. The other two turned towards the spy, ready to fire, but then the Harbinger finally made its presence known. Richter's old pet shot out from the column it had been hiding against, mouth open wide and fangs dripping with chaotic poison. Its high steel scales had shifted in color to perfectly match the blood-red stone of the column, showing that it still deserved its moniker, the Unseen Killer. Before the labyrinth monster could react, the Harbinger had latched onto the Chupacabra's neck and injected its poison. The fluid attack could manifest in any number of ways in accordance with its chaotic nature, but this time it transformed into a solidifying agent, turning the monster's own blood to stone. Its scream was short-lived, and it died, frozen in place, its mouth open for all time. The last Chupacabra lashed out, its claw cutting deep into the chaotic reptile's side. Red blood with a gray tinge gushed from the wound, but the Harbinger was not easily undone. The adder released its bite and hissed at the monster attacking it. It slithered around to the quilled monster's right, both creatures preparing for a fight to the death. Richter's party stared at the showdown in surprise, all of them slightly shocked at seeing a 20-foot-long serpent simply appear out of nowhere and save them. Randolphus, with his 100 years of combat experience and great familiarity with hidden attacks, shook off his surprise first.
"What are you doing?" he shouted to the rest of the party incredulously. "Fight!"
So saying, he snapped his whip at the last Chupacabra, scoring against its face. The monster drew back instinctively with a snarl, which was all the high steel adder needed. The snake shot forward quicker than the eye could follow and bit its enemy on the foreleg. The Chupacabra howled as acidic poison shot into its body, but only for the 4 seconds it took for the adder to wrap its body once around the labyrinth monster's chest and start to squeeze. The dangerous quills on its back were pushed flat, and the adder continued to loop its body around its foe, its coils tightening with each moment. Alma landed on the monster's head with a savage cry and latched on with brain drain. For a moment, the dragonling and the chaotic reptile locked eyes, enjoying a sense of camaraderie once again. As Richter's two reptiles engaged the last Chupacabra, the rest of the war party had sprung into action. Before the crack of Randolphus's whip had faded from the air, Richter responded to the man's charge that they continue the battle. A manic smile had bloomed on the Chaos Seed's face, and with an unholy glee, he shouted,
"Well, you heard him! Fight!"
Sion began firing enchanted arrows at the mauler anew, shouting,
"Oh, yeah!"
Calder and Tarad stood side by side, shields raised and weapons at the ready. Quasia and Zar began to cast strong, destructive spells once again. Sumiko drank a mana potion, ready to pour more healing magic into anyone that was wounded. To the surprise of them all, 2 mist workers appeared to carry Wisteria and Kath out of the chamber. Richter looked around and saw that at the back of the chamber, Roswan stood apart from the fray with his arms crossed. At his liege's attention, however, the elf placed 1 fist over his chest. Even his engineer was in the fight. Richter whooped with glee and picked up his bow again, imbuing a showstopper and targeting the mauler's face. The monster only had 2 magical bands holding it in place now, both around its left leg. As he sighted on it, he called out to Hisako,
"Can you hit that thing with another binding spell?"
"That was one of the strongest that I know, and the cooldown hasn't yet elapsed. I have 2 others that might slow it down, but they are both weaker than the spell I already used."
"Cast them," Richter told her.
"I'll do my part."
"Your part?"
Sion asked, still firing arrows nonstop.
"Yeah,"
Richter responded grimly, not elaborating any further. Hisako cast her weaker binding spell, and more magical bonds appeared. They were noticeably thinner than the ribbons of force her first spell had conjured. They also seemed to enrage the mauler even further. The red aura around its body intensified, and it ripped through these new bonds as if they were no stronger than yarn. Still, it gained the party valuable seconds. 500 mana flowed into Richter's arrow before he released his shot. It flew to the same spot Sion's had, reopening the closing wound. A note of pain entered the Mauler's screaming roar as the wound opened even wider than before. It stole away hundreds of health, but the Mauler was almost free again, and it had over 3,000 health remaining. Steeling himself for what was about to come, Richter took off his quiver and dropped it at his best friend's feet.
"You might need these!"
he shouted over the din of battle.
"What are you doing?"
Sion repeated, never lightening up on his rate of fire. Richter paused for a single moment, affixing his friend with a smile. He cast weak haste and downed his last mana potion. Sion spared him a concerned glance, a troubled realization growing in his eyes. But it was too late. Richter was gone. As the Chaos Seeds sprinted towards their enemy, he called out,
"Don't worry! Depending on your perspective, this is the easy part!"
He started cloud running. Richter's first jump got him 5 feet off the ground. From there, he just kept skating forward. Sion shouted after him, but both the Sprite and Yulindi kept firing unabated. Both struck the Mauler with well-placed arrows, drawing its ire. Hisako finished her second casting. This time, green light surrounded her hands as she accessed her earth magic. 5 towers of stone shot up around the Mauler. The rock began to flow over the boss, encasing it in stone, but the Hearthmother had been right. The simple stone was even less of an impediment than her second spell of binding. The Mauler knocked the sludgy rock away like it was shaking off mud, but combined with the second light spell, its arms were bound again, at least for a few moments. The red glow around the monster surged brighter as its rage at being constrained soared into madness. Its rocky tomb quivered in response. Cracks appeared in the stone and pieces fell to the ground. Richter ran faster. Every passing second gave the Mauler a chance to escape. He only had one chance, possibly even a fool's chance, but he would take it. If he didn't kill it before it broke free, that was it. The Chupacabras had been fearsome, but he and his party had handled them. This thing, now that it was enraged, it would slaughter them all. Richter circled around slightly to the left so he could approach the Mauler from behind. Downing a stamina potion on the run, he started jumping. Each time he did, he gained another 4 to 6 feet in height, but the stamina demands increased massively as well. There was a cost in pain as that happened. Richter's face grew red and his jaw ached from clenching his teeth. He couldn't scream. The only advantage he had was that the Mauler was so focused on breaking free that it hadn't noticed him. He had to make his first strike count. Quasia and Zar had both changed their plans of attack after seeing Hisako cast her spells. The voluptuous gnome cursed herself for what she was about to do, but it didn't stop her. She ran even closer to the giant monster, Calder cursing and chasing after, so that she could get within range to use an actual curse. Black light surrounded her hands as she dual-cast Fathomless Night. The Mauler's malignant eyes turned pure black as the spell took hold. The spell was designed to take away not only its sight, but also its sense of smell, touch, and hearing. The monster was blinded, but the other effects were completely resisted. Even its visual impairment started fading almost immediately as its high spell resistance began eating at the dark magic. Quasia couldn't know it, but an effect that should have lasted 20 minutes would last less than one. She dashed away after a glance at Richter racing towards the behemoth. Calder followed, his war door shield held high, doing what he could to protect their retreat. Zar finished his casting as well, targeting not the Mauler, but Hisako's own magic. A glyph of solidity appeared on the stone walls of the Mauler's prison. The magic was originally designed to strengthen city walls during a siege, but it served the same purpose here. Some of the cracks in the monster's tomb disappeared as the rock's durability was repaired and its defense was increased. It wasn't enough. Even as Richter crossed the final yards between himself and the Mauler, more cracks appeared and the glowing light of the glyph began to flicker. All the while, the red aura of the monster's rage deepened to a more malevolent vermilion hue. To make matters worse, even Hisako's mana was bottoming out from casting so many high-level spells in quick succession. The last dregs of life drained from the chupacabra, the adder had choked to death, allowing Alma to become aware of what was happening once again. She immediately cast about for her master, and seeing Richter running towards the giant monster, she called to him in a panic.
Master, what are you doing?
He didn't take his eyes off the mauler, but he did spare a thought for her. His voice was gentle when he replied, "What I have to, my love." Then he ignored anything else she had to say. His feet touched down on the mauler's back, and the creature noticed him for the first time. It redoubled its efforts to free its arms, and a crack appeared in the side of the stone tomb that ran the length of its cage. Richter smiled with malicious anticipation. Too late, motherfucker. If Star Wars was right, there was only one way to kill a Rancor-type monster. With a savage yell, he jumped off its back, sailing towards its head. His cloud-running skill activated, letting him almost fly through the air with black ice held in both hands. With every ounce of his strength, screaming in rage, he plunged the powerful weapon through the top of the monster's head. Even with its high defense, it couldn't resist the magically enhanced blade made of a level 2 metal. The entire weapon sank through its head and exited through the roof of its mouth while it screamed in pain. Richter grinned in intense satisfaction. He'd done it! That nice moment lasted 2.42 seconds. That was the exact amount of time it took for the Rancor to rip one of its arms free, the stone cage exploding outward, and reach up with its gargantuan hand. It grabbed Richter, piercing his stomach with a talon the size of a pickaxe. Its talon punched through his armor like tissue paper, passing through his body and then exited out the other side, narrowly missing his spine. Blood fountained from the Chaos Seed's mouth, spewing over the mauler's head. Then he was flying through the air, having been thrown away like garbage. His named weapon remained embedded in the creature's skull. The mauler had lost over 1,000 health, but that meant nothing compared to the 2,500 points it still had left. As Richter flew through the air, his body broken, he had time for one thought before impact. Fuck you, Lucas! Then he hit the ground hard enough to bounce twice. Darkness overtook him. Alma sped through the air, ignoring the mauler that had now gotten a leg free as well. The labyrinth monster stared death at the creature that had hurt it. A creature that just so happened to be her master.
Stupid, stupid, stupid! She thought to him with a cry.
Her little heart broke at seeing blood run out of him so fast. The dungeon drank it greedily, finding that it had a particular taste for the Chaos Seed's life essence. Tears leaked from Alma's eyes as a golden glow surrounded her quivering body. She cast Weak Slow Heal, Minor Slow Heal, Minor Stabilize, Summon Weak Life Wisp, and Summon Weak Gold Fox in quick succession. Her mana dropped by 265 points, but that was nothing compared to her total mana pool of almost 1,000. A roar sounded behind her as the mauler got its other arm free. Only one leg was still bound. She didn't care. Richter was her life, and she would gladly sacrifice her own to save his. Perched atop her master's chest, the cat-sized dragonling hissed at the gigantic monster, warning it to stay away. Healing magic slammed into Richter's body, and impossibly, the bowling ball-sized hole in his body began to close. Yulindi and Sion abandoned their useless barrage and raced towards Richter's prone form, hoping they could save him. Calder stared after them, yearning to run to his liege, but the soldier was a consummate professional and did as he had been ordered, protecting Quasia and Zar. Both casters were suffering from spell fatigue, having overexerted themselves with their strongest magics. They could still cast, but their concentration had taken a serious hit, making spell miscasts much more likely. Yoshi remained with the Hearthmother, who had downed another mana potion and was starting to cast one of her strongest spells. Sumiko was pouring healing magic into the injured as fast as possible, but though she had initially been able to heal the wounds caused by the chupacabras, the wounds had begun to fester. All three melee warriors, Tirad, and even Randolphus, had black lines spreading from their wounds. Whatever had been in the monster's bites and claws acted like a poison and a blood thinner. No sooner had the bleeding in one stopped than it began in another. Their health was falling so fast that she was having to hopscotch between patients. The healer frantically waved at Roswan, who was still standing near the portal to the entrance chamber. More mist workers formed and began to carry the wounded to safety. She downed her last mana potion, even as she poured more magic into prolonging the lives of the wounded. The sprite cast a worried glance at Richter's body across the cavern, but the mauler was almost free. She wouldn't help anyone if she rushed forward and was killed by the creature. Instead, she stayed with her patients, saving the lives that she could, and telling herself that even if Richter died, he would be reborn. The tears falling from her eyes gave lie to the false comfort. Yoshi stared at the mauler as it finally freed itself. He had already decided that if it got close enough, he would trigger his strongest attack, Flurry of Blades. For 3 seconds, the damage and speed of his attacks would increase dramatically. The attack drained 45% of his max stamina and would probably have no effect against the mauler, but it might give Hisako the time she needed to escape. He had taken a small wound from the chupacabra as well, and blood ran down his side even as magical poison ate away at his organs. The sword adept still stood tall, fueled by an iron will and an unyielding dedication to the focal principle of his life. He would stand between his loved ones and those that would do them harm. He would stand tall until the last beat of his heart and shout, "No!" He glared at the monster that had endured his strongest attack, both blades held at the ready. His chest heaved, struggling to draw in air as he readied himself for the last moments of his life. Yoshi glared at the mauler as it glared at Richter. While all of this was happening, Hisako had been preparing some of her strongest healing magic. Only the secret adept rank perk of her light magic skill let her cast magic so far away from her target. She had already cast a diagnostic spell and knew that while Alma's quick healing had prolonged Richter's life, it wasn't enough to ensure it. A roar almost made her miscast, but she finished her spell, sending a bolt of healing energy at her ally that was one part life-saving, one part electric shock. Even though she finished her casting, her face drained of blood, the mauler was free, and her spell had drawn its attention. It had abandoned its focus on Richter and was coming straight for her. Hisako used almost all of her remaining mana to summon a protective wall. It was the same spell of golden light she had used to defend against the bugbear attack months before. The shield was 10 yards wide, 10 high, and 3 deep. The spell was active, so she could feed more mana into it, but it also meant she would suffer horribly if the spell form was destroyed.
"Wake up, Master! Wake up!"
Alma had been screaming into her master's mind. Her voice could not reach him, but Hisako's electrifying healing magic made him feel like he'd just been jump-started by a car battery. His wound healed completely, and pain shot through his heart. As Alma screamed as loudly as she could, "Master! Wake up!" His eyes shot open, and he sat up abruptly.
"Ah!"
Richter screamed, grabbing at his heart.
"Who's been dancing on my chest?"
he shouted, looking around wildly. He had lost a massive amount of blood, and his wits were addled, but the mauler's roar brought it all flooding back. His hand shot down to his abdomen, expecting to find a bloody hole. Instead, his fingers found only tender, unbroken skin. It didn't escape his notice that there was a bowling ball-sized hole in his chest armor.
"Richter!" Hisako screamed. "We need to leave! I cannot hold it back!"
Putting proof to her belief, the mauler attacked. That very first blow made cracks in the transparent gold barrier, and Hisako felt it like a spike into her brain. Another blow shook the shield, and a small vessel in the hearth mother's eye exploded, flooding the white orb with blood.
"Richter!"
Hisako cried again, but weaker this time. She let loose a grunt as she was forced to one knee by another hammering blow. Yoshi prepared, both blades ready and pointing towards the mauler, poised to attack the moment his lady's magic failed. Blood flowed freely from one of her nostrils, tracing over her lips and chin. The other party members had all retreated to the shimmering energy field that would let them leave the dungeon and hopefully escape. They all knew that if they lost this battle, though, there was no guarantee that the mauler wouldn't follow them and enact a horrible revenge. Richter blinked in confusion, but started getting up. Hisako called out one final time, her voice cracking as her mind was overwhelmed, feeding mana into a defense that was too weak to withstand the fury of the behemoth before her.
"This reptile is beyond us!"
she cried as she collapsed to the ground. Few in the land would have had the pure will needed to maintain her spell while suffering the agony that racked her body, even as the mauler continued its rage-fueled attack. Her final words pierced the haze his near-death had conjured. Richter stood, Alma flying up into the air, ready for whatever he needed her to do. Yoshi dropped his swords once the hearth mother fell to both knees and, cradling her, began running towards the portal. The defensive spell moved with them, but the mauler followed, continuing to rain blows on the golden shield and the Life Master's mind. More cracks appeared with every blow, and Hisako let out a low moan of suffering. At Calder's order, the rest of the party had retreated to the entrance portal with the wounded. They were bleeding and battered, but still were unwilling to abandon the two masters, not until Calder made it an order. A lifetime of leading soldiers gave the sergeant's voice a snap that could not be refused. He planned to see them to safety, then return for his liege, even if it was the last thing he ever did. Another blow struck the shield, and this time the cracks spread from one edge of the shield to the other. The mauler's talon punctured the defense, only to be stopped by the last fading integrity of Hisako's magic. The Sprite Master nearly lost control, but managed to pour the last drops of her mana into her spell. It was clear to everyone that the next attack would destroy the only thing keeping them safe. Richter made a decision. He began running towards the mauler once again. Alma flew above him.
"What are you doing, Master?"
There was panic in her voice. She was sure her love was once again about to do something stupid.
"If we bond, I can keep you safe."
"What I have to, my love," came his reply. His tone was resigned to whatever would happen. "I need you to distract the mauler with a psi blast. Do this for me, and we can win." He hoped she couldn't hear the lie in his words. While he did need the creature to be distracted, the real reason he wouldn't bond with her was because he would probably be dead within the next 60 seconds. He could live with that, but he would not take her with him. The mauler drew back its arm to attack one more time, and Richter triggered his Ring of Shadow Shift. He had promised himself that he'd never enter the Shadow Realm again, at less than full strength, but there was no choice. Once again, the contrast of light and dark was enhanced, and the shadows seemed to reach for him. Richter wasted no time, stepping into the shadow cast by the floating red gem at the center of the cavern and a broken red column sticking up like a decayed tooth. The mauler's arm arced down to steal the lives of his friends and family, but then time slowed to a crawl. The monster's descending claws slowed like it was moving through honey. Alma slowly beat her wings, her mouth open in a silent scream of protest at him risking his life yet again. A countdown timer appeared on the side of his interface, showing the 5 seconds of real time he had to exit the Shadow Realm. The mauler roared in fury, but it sounded like a distant echo to Richter. The counter ticked down to 4. The Chaos Seed tensed, remembering the Shadow Bat that had done him so much damage, but he didn't see any shadow creatures, and he didn't plan on staying around long enough to be found and attacked. As the boss's arm continued to slowly fall, Richter ran up behind it as quickly as his aching body would allow. With the time-dilating effects of the Shadow Realm, he had more than enough time to cross the chamber. Once he was in position, he took 2 items from his bag of holding. The first was the last silver potion in the village. He downed the potion of Selak's luck in one go. He'd need every ounce he could get if he was going to trade his soul for the lives of his people. The next item he summoned from the interdimensional space of his bag was a simple, innocuous brown leather pouch. As was so often the case, however, it was what was inside that counted. He had never used this item before because of the massive danger it posed, but as his granddaddy always used to say, "Don't worry about spilling water when you're on a sinking ship." It was time to roll the dice. The Chaos Seed opened the pouch as the counter ticked down, showing he had only 2 seconds of real time left. A sound like the slow and muted breaking of glass reverberated through the Shadow Realm. The Mauler's arm had connected with Hisako's shield, and the magic was shattering. Richter turned his head to look at the Hearthmother. He saw that even in her confused state, there was an expression of profound sadness upon her face. Yoshi's head was turned away, and he was hunched over his liege, using his own body as a shield, loyal to the last. Richter began to scream in rage that he was too late, but then he saw something that he had missed before. Lying almost at the Mauler's feet, there was movement. 2 eyes phased into existence as the Harbinger made sure that this invader would regret coming into its dungeon. With his heart thudding in his chest, the timer ticked down to 1. 2 heartbeats later, a smile grew on his face. In the slow time of the Shadow Realm, Richter could tell that the high steel adder was moving up faster than the Mauler's arm was falling down. He nodded in appreciation at his old pet, even though it couldn't see it. The snake had given him the only thing he needed to defeat his enemy. Hope. Without much time left, Richter poured sparkling red powder into his hand.
"Be warned, using magic beyond your skill level can have serious consequences. Do you truly wish to use blood crystal to augment your blood magic? Yes or no?"
Grimly, Richter entered the fortifications of his mindscape and thought through his decision one more time. There was only one thing he knew that could save him. The deeper magic of blood. If he could tame the Mauler, he could make it his own. The problem was that the creature's level was so high that he couldn't even see it with Analyze. That meant its level was at least 50 or higher. The success of his tame spell was normally dependent on his skill level in beast bonding versus the level of the creature in front of him. If the Mauler's level had been equal to his skill level of 8, there would have been a 50-50 chance to ensnare it. In the best-case scenario, if the Mauler was level 50, he would have a 14% chance to win. The only thing that gave Richter any hope was his own dragonkin nature and his bond to Alma. They gave him another plus 20 and plus 14 levels when taming a reptile. It could increase his chances to almost 50% if the Mauler's level was as low as he prayed. Richter knew that wasn't the case. That was why, in this realm of shadow, he was preparing to risk his very sanity. There was one way to make his blood magic stronger, but there would be a cost. When Sion had shown him the patch of blood crystal growing in the crystal garden, Richter had known it was powerful. The prompt he'd gained had proved the same, but as with all things in the land, power and danger were close bedfellows. He had already lost himself once to the fury of blood magic. What would happen if he used the red crystal to greatly magnify its effect? How could it not increase the cost as well? This fear was why he had never used the blood crystal before. He had been content to simply wait until his skill was higher before he tried to tame stronger monsters. As the countdown ticked down to 1, though, he knew his time had run out. Richter looked at the prompt again and chose yes. The blood crystals rose from his hand and formed a mini tornado. It flared slightly, as if lit by unseen lightning, but even this light was muted by the Shadow Realm. Before Richter could do anything, the crystals shot into his eyes, nose, and mouth. The whites of his eyes grew blood red, and his hands began to tremor uncontrollably. In his mindscape, Richter's avatar saw a tidal wave of blood sweep over the surrounding forest and break over the village. It covered everything he could see in thick, red liquid, reaching almost to the ramparts of his mental fortification. If not for the defenses he'd created with Alma, he would be drowning in rage and emotion. Though it was just a mental construct, Richter couldn't help but shiver at hearing the lapping of the blood waves.